Good morning and welcome to Trending. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. As a county commissioner, I will often get asked about the services the county provides that some of our citizens may not know about. I always go to our Parks and Recreation Department, and this department does more than just offer sports leagues and sports facilities. Their fingerprint is all over the parks in the county and the community centers, plus so much more. Here today with me in studio is the Putnam County Parks and Recreation Director, John Ross Albertson. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I know you're busy. I know that your department is in full force in fall. We got great weather outside, and I know y'all been busy, and I appreciate everything you do. So I know your time is valuable, and again, your staff is such an important part of what we're doing in the county, and you are too. So I know you taking some time out is valuable to me and valuable to our listeners, because our listeners – don't know everything about your department, and that's the reason I want you here, because I want to inform them on what all you do. Your department is involved with so much the county offers, and you can't offer those services without money. And
correct.
So, you know, you have a budget within the county general fund, or actually within the county's budget. It's your own fund, which I like. I like having your own fund for parks and recreation, because we can separate the funding out, and we know kind of what's going where with your stuff, and keep it separate from the general fund, which houses so much of the other operations we do as a county. But let's start with your budget, because I want the public to know what is funding your operation, and how you and your employees are actually able to accomplish so much. Your budget is roughly $1.3 million a year. So what revenue line items are funding your budget?
Of course, the biggest is hotel motel, which we've, of course, taken a hit this year with COVID, which is to be expected, of course, with a lot of those different restrictions and people not traveling as much. And then, of course, we have fees, rental fees for our facilities that we get as well. So we get most of our revenue from those two sources. That's where a lot of it comes in. So the biggest thing, of course, our approach in general when it comes to our budget, or at least mine since I've been here for 5 years, has really been to try and work within what we have. We haven't asked for substantial increases, but we've worked within that budget to be able to get all these projects done. And just to sit down and think about all the different things that we've accomplished through grants and through other alternative funding sources, it's pretty pleasing to be able to think that we've been able to do that without having to ask for that substantial increase from the county commission. So, I do have to appreciate everything that you have done as a county commissioner and the rest of the county commissioners to be able to make sure that our budget's able to accommodate us. And so that's something, of course, moving forward, we all realize as our county grows that budgets will have to increase. That's something obvious, I think, for not just our department, I think every department. My ultimate goal is, of course, to work with what I have and do the best that I can. So
we're going to talk about today everything that your department is involved in. More than it's just more than sports and parks. But you know, you talked about the revenue, the hotel motel tax. I've had Molly Brown on before with the Visitors Bureau, and they do such a great job with the chamber, and she does a great job with the Visitors Bureau. And part of her responsibilities are, you know, reaching out to our hotels and motels and basically marketing for them as well, marketing the city of Cooble and the county and the cities in it for people to come and spend that money as people are coming through. And because that's a transient tax, and that's, you know, you're more likely we're not taxing our own people with hotel motel tax. I was talking to a buddy the other day. He says every now and then him and his wife will just get a hotel room because they want to get out of their house. And I said, well, I guess that makes sense, but that's very rare that happens. Most people coming through the county are staying in hotels. They're not outside of the county, or they're outside of the county, so it's a tax that they're paying, and that helps us. How often do you talk to Molly about the events you're having and things that she can do to help y'all?
We definitely talk quite regularly. Of course, Molly is a great asset to our department as well as our county as a whole. The Visitors Bureau does quite a bit for us in promoting our county and promoting the different facilities that we have to offer, whether it be city facilities for the city of Cookeville or facilities that, of course, the county owns. So we work hand in hand with her quite a bit, especially just recently we've been doing quite a bit of work with her to try and figure out how to increase tournaments and to try and draw in more events to our different facilities. So that's definitely an important relationship, of course, that we have. And ultimately with our department, the reason that we're able to get things done the way that we get things done is through our relationships. You look at every different scenario that our department is involved in, and it all goes back to a relationship that we have with someone else or some other organization in order to be able to get it done.
Well, let's be honest, the relationship between your department, the county department, and the city, leisure services has vastly improved since you've mm-hmm. been around. And that's only, I'm going to give kudos to you and leisure services, city of Cooperville, Rick Woods and his staff. It's just that relationship has built, and it's better. And y'all are able to work together to have more things. And, of course, you mentioned COVID with the hotel motel tax. COVID's also reduced the amount of tournaments that you've been able to host, mm-hmm. especially in soccer and lacrosse. And so that's a revenue hit. And, of course, you talked about fees, and fees is part of your budget. I think around $70,000 of revenue you bring a year in fees, and that's a good amount of money, but $1.3 million is your total budget. Fees is important. There's opportunity probably to make more in fees. But y'all have always kept those prices low just because you don't want to run people off.
Yes, that's always our goal, of course, is to try and promote usership of our facilities without trying to deter that through the increase the fees. So, but back to leisure services for a minute. We've had a great relationship with Rick Woods, and I have to give him a lot of credit. He's been very good to work with on his part, and it's actually kind of funny because – he actually has some people from Tennessee Tech that work there while I work there that work under him. So we have some different Tennessee Tech connections, of course, where we've worked together before. And so that's, of course, strengthened our relationship between our two departments. So we've been able to grow that relationship and kind of foster that and try and work with them as best we can in any opportunity that we get. So.
And we and the county, I say we, the county plucked you from Tennessee Tech, and I know that Mark Wilson is probably was happy for you, but at the same time, he's like, I've lost a really good one. And then, of course, you've plucked a couple people from Tennessee Tech to follow yeah. you, and then the city's getting people. So Tech's obviously a big part of growing not only Parks and Rec, but leisure services as well. Tech also does a good job with the marketing people, and they a lot of them end up at the chamber. Mm-hmm. So Tech is really kind of a business incubator for the county and city to you know, train and develop people, and then we get them. And so you've built that relationship. You've got a good relationship with Tech. So mm-hmm. that only helps you and the city of Cooperville as well, when, as you said, having people come from over there. Your department is involved with so much the county offers. And so we talked about the budget, you know, hotel, motel tax, fees, of course, property. We do just a small part of our property tax rate goes into your budget, but it's necessary. Let's start with the sports parks. What sports parks is your department responsible for in the county?
The biggest park, of course, that we have is the Putnam County Sports Complex, which is north of the Cookeville High School there, where we have six soccer fields. We're actually in the process of working on the LPRF grant that we received 2 years ago from TDEC to expand that and add two additional full-size fields. So we're working on expanding that. We actually just had a grant as well from the state health department to add a playground area and a walking path around those fields. So there's a lot of things going on there. There's a lot of positive energy and positive movement in the right direction at that facility. Then we have Jerry Whitson, which is in here in town in Cookeville. Then we have our ball fields in Monterey, Baxter, and Allgood. So all together we have around 30 different ball fields of different types, whether it be soccer, lacrosse, football, softball, baseball, little league, t-ball. So we have a lot of different fields to cover. We cover a lot of different space. That's one of the things that's unique about our department and different than leisure services, of course. We cover all the way from Buffalo Valley to Glade Creek, whereas, of course, Rick and leisure services stay inside the city limits of Cookeville. So that's kind of where we differ. We have a lot of different range. It's definitely a day whenever you have to make a trip from Buffalo Valley all the way up to Glade Creek, and we've had to do that a couple times. That's a long trip to make, but we do it regularly so we can see all the different facilities that we have and try and take care of them the best we can.
How many staff members do you have?
We have 13 altogether.
Yeah, and so I'm going to brag on your staff, of course you as well, 13 people covering the county. with that many parks, and there's more than just sports parks that y'all maintain, and we're going to get to that as we go through the show. But you have 13 employees. Most of them have they been there a while?
We have five that have been there from the prior director and before. So we have those five, and then of course we've brought in some new people as well. As we've had some that have retired and moved on to better paying jobs. And ultimately, at least for me as an individual and as a boss, that's one of the things I always like to try and encourage our staff to always do better.
Sure.
And so anytime that, of course, our staff get an opportunity to be able to do better than what they're doing, then that's something that I always want to encourage and foster. It's something that I definitely appreciate. Whenever I was at Tennessee Tech, of course, Watson Brown was my direct supervisor. And that's something that he always did. He was very encouraging to try and promote you and make sure that you were getting the best for you. So that's something I've tried to carry forward as well.
I like that, and they do a great job. Hope you continue to listen. We've got three more segments with John Ross Albertson, the Putnam County Parks and Recreation Director. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Training. This is Ben Rogers. I'm with John Ross Albertson from the Putnam County Parks and Recreation Department. He is the director, and roughly been there 5 years. Is that right, John?
Mm-hmm. And hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I became a commissioner in 2014, and I think shortly after that, I was on your interview committee and of course, knew you prior. That's not the first time I've known your family for a while, and just told Mary Porter, I said, this guy right here has got the experience. He is young. He's got the experience and the drive, and thankfully, you're here and you're still here, and we're thankful for that. The sports parks you'd mentioned, the biggest one is the soccer complex near the Cobble High School. COVID has reduced the amount of tournaments y'all have had. Are tournaments picking back up for soccer and lacrosse? Have you seen an increase, or is it kind of just steady where there's not a lot going on?
We were actually able to host a state league tournament this last weekend for the TSSA Association at our sports complex, which that's a new event that we were able to add. But they're definitely a lot different than what they have been in the past. You're not looking at near the participation level that you've had because, of course, still people are still very concerned. So they're not traveling near as much. So it was more of a scaled down approach than what I guess you'd be normal or what would be normal for a regular year. So we've seen some of that come through. But honestly, tournament wise, you have not seen a whole lot this year. I know the city has seen some when it comes to softball and
right.
baseball, but it's been definitely limited compared to what it normally is. Actually, I ran into Bonnie Bonham, which was the girls' softball coach at Tennessee Tech while I was there, and she actually works for Rick Woods at Leisure Services. And I was talking to her about it, and that was kind of the consensus, is it's definitely a slower year.
Yeah.
It's actually her first year there at Leisure Services, so it's definitely a transition, and our program coordinator, actually, it's his first year, and he came from Tennessee Tech as well, and that's Seth Bruton.
Yeah.
And so they're both kind of transitioned into a year that's been kind of different with our pools being closed, which normally he'd be in charge of that. He'd be in charge of running our adult softball league, but none of those things were able to happen.
Yeah.
So he's had a definitely a different year than what he would normally be used to.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the pool because that's the first time it's been closed probably ever. And your office, in case people don't know, is at the community center in Cobble beside Avery Trace Middle School. While I'm on the community center, County Commission has had to move our meetings to the community center. And because of social distancing and where we can space out there in the main, I guess the community room where the volleyball and basketball courts are. And the reason we're able to meet there is because of your office and department and the people there and Mayor Porter. Mayor Porter calls you and says, can we meet there? Can we make it work? Your response is absolutely. And y'all just get after it and start making it work for us. And we arrive and the tables are probably 10 feet apart, actually. It's more than 6 feet. And we got our own microphone. We had water. We have sanitizer. Basically, everything but a recliner is what you put out there for us. And you put out good chairs for us. So I'm thankful as a county commissioner because, as I said, there's so much more that y'all do other than maintaining parks. So I want to get that line in about the community center. I appreciate what y'all are doing there because it's made it easy on us as a commission to have a meeting in person. And we're still, for everybody that's interested. You're able to attend. We ask that you require that you wear a mask as you come in and keep them on and stay socially distanced from people. But we are offering hybrid meetings still, so we do have some commissioners this week. We had two commissioners call in through our conference call, and it's a little bit difficult sometimes to for them to hear everything we say and for us to hear everything, but it's the sound system's been wonderful. That's not the sound system's fault. Our IT department's been wonderful. They've had everything going. So we just have great county employees. So I want to thank you for that.
We definitely have some head scratcher moments sometimes where we're given some situations, and that's one thing that we've been very fortunate is I can approach our staff and we can talk through it and kind of talk through our different ideas, how we think that we can make situations work. And so far we've been able to accomplish those things. It's just like all the way to situations where we have grants that we don't necessarily have enough funding to be able to complete the project the way that we would desire to. But the goal is we just sit down and come up with an idea that we think that we can do, that we can do it in-house and be able to accomplish that goal. So
yeah.
That's definitely something that we've been able to do successfully. And I appreciate our staff for their sticking with me sometimes, because I know that they have to hear some of my ideas whenever I come to them and think, there's no way in the world that we could accomplish that.
Right.
But what I've told them and explained to them is that as long as we stick together, come up with good ideas, and I think that we can execute it. I wouldn't bring an idea to them that I didn't think that we could. So.
Yeah. You've got a smart group of employees. And so back to where the community center's at and the pool, as we said, it shut down. So I guess the only good thing about that is you've saved on maybe some maintenance costs with that. And I know it's probably not a whole lot because you're still trying to make sure it's functional and when you don't want to let it get too dirty and all that, but it's saved you some time, I guess.
We were able to save some time, and of course we were able to use that time to do some upgrades as well while the pool was down. Ultimately, us closing the pools became a financial decision. At the time, of course, if you remember back, it's even hard for me to remember back, to be real honest, but at the time, the state of Tennessee had closed their pools. And so we decided to follow in suit, because after considering all the CDC guidelines that we were given, it would have been so constraining to our staff and cost-wise of the staffing that we would have to do and commit to opening the pools, we just wouldn't have been able to have afforded it. We would have been much farther into our budget than what we would have felt comfortable with, especially based on our returns. If you see all the way to Gilly Pool, in McMinnville, they opened originally just for Warren County residents, and they didn't have enough traffic flow to be able to keep enough funding to keep it open.
Right.
So they ended up having to open it to everybody, and they were still struggling.
Right.
With those funds. So I think we made the right decision in that regards. While unfortunate, I think that we still made the right decision.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen next year, but hopefully come next May when it gets warmer and it's time to get back in the pool, I hope we're to the point where you can open that pool up and maybe things are getting back to normal. So the pool, there's another pool in Monterey that mm-hmm. y'all maintain. And of course, you'd mentioned 30-something facilities as far as parks and tennis courts and basketball courts, and you've done some resurfacing on some of those courts. I know in Baxter we have two tennis courts there beside the old football field, and really it's the soccer field now for the middle school and high school, but it's where I played football at back in 20-something years ago. But there's two tennis courts, for people that don't know, beside the field house there, and that's the responsibility of the county. It's your department's responsibility, and you had that resurfaced because people actually play tennis. People are playing pickleball, which is near and dear to my heart. I play, I don't know how I got into it. My buddy, who's 31 years old, 10 years younger or 9 years younger than me, we got done working out one day and he said, "Hey, you ever played pickleball?" And I didn't even know what pickleball was. You know, I'm like, "What is pickleball? Man, I'm throwing pickles at you." Don't even like to eat pickles. And he's like, "No, it's like it's like tennis, but on a smaller scale." So we went over there one day. Y'all had lined it off. It was lined off, or somebody, I guess it was y'all, had like some tape or something down, and we played pickleball. And that started right when COVID hit, because had a little more time on our hands, and we've been obsessed ever since.
Pickleball is definitely a growing sport. It's all the way, of course, I read all the Parks and Rec magazines and everything of that nature, and then I actually have family on the West Coast, so I read the newspaper out there regularly, and it was really interesting to see. They're actually in a discussion out there where our family lives about trying to add in additional pickleball courts So that was interesting to be able to see that it's all the way on the other coast, on the West Coast as well. So it's definitely a sport that's growing. It's becoming a lot more popular. So we're going to try and invest in that moving forward to try and do some different things, whether it be a league, an adult league that we can offer, or, of course, trying to add those at the Cookeville Community Center as well to the 6 courts that we have there. So there's a lot of positive momentum in that direction to really grow that sport in our community.
And so it's a sport for all ages. I don't care what the older generation says, because the quick story I have is a few weeks ago, we're playing one morning, it's a Saturday morning, and we used to start at 6:30 when the sun, and even 5:30 when the sun was coming up, we'd start that early before work, so we're playing pickleball, and about 6 to 8 ladies, maybe a few years older than me, come out there, and we've never seen them, and they'd never seen us, and they thought it was our first time playing, and I said, no, man, we've been here since March. And she said, we've never seen y'all. And I said, well, I've never seen y'all. And it was just a good interaction between the two different generations of 50 and 60-year-olds and 30 and 40-year-olds. And of course, the guys are over here trying to hit the ball hard, and that's really not the name of the game, and show what we can do. And the ladies are over here really finessing. And it's just a sport for all ages, and it's something we enjoy thoroughly. But I bring that up to say y'all put the time into those courts because you recognize the need where people are actually, you know, you have anywhere from 30 to 50 people a week, maybe more than that, coming there to play pickleball or tennis. And y'all took the initiative. I know it's in Baxter, but y'all took the initiative to make that court better. And then you're going to add some lots. And so hopefully sooner or later, the lots will be up and we can play at night.
That's going to be a project that we work on in the upcoming months. We're hoping to try and get those lots up and going because that's been an issue, of course, down there for quite a while. So we've actually delved into that quite a bit. Our maintenance manager has been working on a list of materials and everything that we need. We actually got the lots in. So that's going to be a really good project to try and get done. When it goes to pickleball, of course, it's just like you all talking about, you've been doing it since March. I think that if there was ever a time to be able to have that fun and kind of be able to be positive and be together and enjoy yourself, I think this year is definitely one of those years.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think if we look around through the tornado all the way to now, the one thing that we have to look at, we can look at the negative all day long, but I think we have to look at the positive to some degree.
Yeah.
And it's just like even our department. When you look at what we've done, even in a very difficult year when things have been handed to us, I think that we've accomplished quite a bit of positive.
Yeah, and I want to get to that, what you just said, and the tornado stuff when we come back, because y'all were a big part of that. In this next segment, I hope you continue to stay with us. This has been Rogers visiting with John Ross Albertson. We'll be back in just a moment on Trending. Welcome back to Trending. I continue to visit with John Ross Albertson. We were talking about the things that people are doing because of COVID, and of course, our community was hit with a tornado in March, and that affected us as well. Then we had COVID hit, and your department has done things to with the parks, the sports parks, the tennis courts, basketball courts, all that's available for recreation. You've maintained those because people are enjoying them probably more since COVID's hit. They've been outside, they want to be outside, and they still want to interact with people safely. But people don't realize what kind of part your office and department played in the tornado recovery for those survivors, and I think it starts the day that the tornado hit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't care, just tell us about when you found out about the tornado, what your department did.
Well, I think as pretty much every citizen in Putnam County, I don't think that you'll forget that morning. I remember exactly the order of events of our phones going off, us waking up. And then Mayor Porter, of course, called me and said that we needed to activate the community center for a shelter. And so we were able to do that nearly immediately. And we actually had 4 staff members that were at our workshop that morning ready to head to Nashville to take a trailer to Nashville. And they were already there at 3:00 that morning. And that's so rare for our staff to be anywhere close to our shop at 3:00 in the morning.
Right.
But it just so happened that morning they were there. And so I, of course, communicated with our staff and told them that we needed them to head down to where the tornado was and start trying to cut roads out. And so they immediately, without hesitation, knowing what they were probably going to be in the middle of, headed straight down to start cutting roads. And of course, I didn't make it in until a little bit later than that. And whenever I got in, our staff that had been down there and helped clear the roads, they were actually back to the community center by then. And I'll never forget it. I mean, they were soaking wet. I mean, they're soaking wet and they have wood chips all over them. And so they started telling stories immediately, which, of course, you know, I mean, those are very dramatic stories to hear at that point. And so I think you look at what we went through with the tornado, and we worked, of course, at the community center was the main distribution center for our community. We took in all the supplies. Our department managed the logistics of being able to move things to people as they needed it and kind of did that role. And we were very fortunate that we had a Heritage Academy, that they came in and they actually, they manned the distribution center and helped walk people through to be able to get what they needed and kind of help them sort through that. So they were a big help. But yet again, that's another partnership. You look back through the tornado and you look at all the different things that we did and all the different people that we worked with. We had people calling our community center all the way from Texas. We had a senator from the state of Texas that sent a 53-foot semi-truck full of supplies. And it's stories like that that the general public will never know.
Right.
But we know because, of course, we were taking those phone calls. So it was definitely a very moving event. I think it's something that our department, it really kind of – it's a memorable event for our department. What we did for several months there, and a lot of people after that initial month or so after the tornado had really kind of moved on. And the rest of us that were still working in it, we were still in it every day.
Right.
And that was one of the things going through the process. We were debating when we would stop with the distribution center. And I think that it was a very easy decision for the rest of us that we wanted to carry it on as long as we possibly could.
Sure.
As long as we were still having people come to get stuff, we wanted to carry it on. And so that was something that we strategically did as our department. I know, of course, COVID fortunately allowed us the opportunity to be able to put so much focus on that because we didn't have those ball fields that were opened at that point.
Right.
So it offered us with that time to be able to kind of focus on that. So it was definitely an experience. I think at the end of the day, our staff being at the location that they were at that time of the morning, I think there's only one way to describe that, and I think that's as a God thing. I mean,
sure.
Because they were in the perfect position to be able to respond.
Right.
And so I think we were used as a department to be able to fill some roles there that normally we wouldn't feel as a Parks and Recreation Department. But that's one thing that I was so satisfied with in our department, that there wasn't a question of whether we were going to do it. There was never a question from anybody on our staff as to whether we were going to do what we had to do. It was a question of, well, how do we do it?
Right.
And so we started working, of course, immediately. So we came up with different plans and put them in place, and the staff was very responsive to it, and so is the community. And I think that for this year, to be able to look back at the time when our city and county was so tight-knit following that event, and then to see, you know, all the different things that are trying to pull people apart the rest of this year, I mean, we have to go back, I think, to that time and realize that at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the people.
Right.
It doesn't matter anything else other than that.
Yep.
So I think that's important to remember moving forward.
It is, and I'm glad you said that, because I try to close my show out with some words of, I guess, advice for people listening to remind them about being kind to one another. And if we could go back to how kind and helpful we were in March to each other in April, after all that we went through, I think our community would be a little bit more successful in where we're going, because we just feel like we're getting pulled apart, like you said, and it's unfortunate. I want to thank you and your department for all that you did, because I heard so many people that were affected that I spoke with talk about the efficiency and the access and how easy it was to get what they needed from the distribution center. And that was made happen are possible by your department and so many others, but it started with the community center where you're at, and I want to thank you for that because and your staff, you know, it's like you said, you had a few employees there at 3 o'clock because they had something else they were responsible for doing that day. And they weren't there because of the tornado. They were there for something else when it hit. And that's another thing about your department. Your department's not 8 to 4 every day, Monday through Friday. It's all times of hours every day. If there's a tournament going on, you have people on Saturday and Sunday working. And that's another good thing about your employees. They're working a lot, different hours, and their sacrifice has been really big for the success of our county and what we offer with recreational sports leagues and all that. So,
well, and that's one thing. If our staff were not as responsive as what we are, we wouldn't be able to accomplish anything that we have.
Right.
At the end of the day, you look at the Baxter Amphitheater that we were able to build as a department. If our staff, whenever I walked into the room and said, "Hey, look, guys, we've got to build an amphitheater.
Yep.
We need to figure out how to do it." If they weren't responsive and didn't want to and didn't want to try and move the department forward, then we wouldn't be able to accomplish tasks like that.
Right.
It would be a completely different department without that. And so I think our approach with trying to do that, and of course I try and keep it more of a family-style atmosphere because I intentionally want that, because at the end of the day, it's just like dealing with a tornado. I mean, dealing with what some of our staff saw, I mean, they have to know that the rest of the staff care,
yeah,
and that's something that's important in order to be able to move forward. I think that makes you so much more efficient when your department can be able to really feel that and kind of go through those issues together. And I think the tornado was definitely that moment that our staff, we went through a lot together. There were long days. We didn't go through near what the victims of the tornado went through, for sure.
Right.
But we became a lot closer through that event, working 12-hour days for, you know, 3 months, and even Sundays, Saturdays included, no days off. At one point, it kind of felt like the old commercial, the Dunkin' Donut commercial, where you wake up and time to go make the donuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember just sitting on the side of the bed thinking, can I get up and do this again?
Yeah.
In which we went to – our staff went from Parks and Rec staff to eventually becoming a warehouse crew.
Sure.
And so our guys are used to being outside. They're used to being, you know, mowing and doing different things out there. And then here we are in a warehouse standing on concrete floors all day. So it was definitely a transition. But I will say, I mean, they hit it head on. And they knew the task at hand. And they knew that it was going to end. And so they hit it and we moved on and got it done. And now we are where we are.
Well, your staff is definitely versatile. Again, they're very important, and I want to talk a little bit more about some of the projects you and your staff have been working on when we come back in this last segment, because there's so much going on in your department, so much y'all are doing for the county, and so much to look forward to. If you live in Putnam County or near Putnam County, you're going to hear about some things that are going on with his department. When we come back on Trending, we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to our last segment of Trending on this morning's episode. I'm with John Ross Albertson from the Putnam County Parks and Recreation Department. You had mentioned a project where we're talking about the tornado relief, but you had mentioned the project and how versatile your staff is and all that they do. Y'all have got a lot going on in the county, and you'd mentioned the Baxter amphitheater in Baxter, which is tying into what we call Baxter Seminary Park, which is a brand new project that's been actually in the works for a couple years now. It's looking great there. It's between the Cornerstone Elementary and Baxter Primary School by the old softball field, and the amphitheater tied in, and that was a project that y'all took on without hesitation and made it work. What is that Baxter Seminary Park and amphitheater doing for that community?
So, of course, like you said, we have the amphitheater project that we did through the tourism grant that we were able to get, that the city of Baxter actually got, and we completed. The city of Baxter actually is in the process of applying for a Blue Cross Blue Shield grant that would add a playground as well, so and a pavilion. So that's one big grant that they're working on that they've actually applied for. There's also another grant that they're in the process of applying for a splash pad. So that'll be another big feature that we can add to it. And there's another park area that we're working on as well down there. So I think all in all, that park is really coming along. You're starting to see it really hit its stride, I think. And that's one thing that I had said early on, that I think that park can be one of the best parks in the county for sure. which, of course, it's a very unique project. It's on school board property.
Right.
And it's one that, of course, we're going to help maintain.
Sure.
And it's really a joint relationship or project between us, the city of Baxter, and the school board.
Mm-hmm.
So that park is really coming along, and you're seeing some positive energy in moving that forward. So that's definitely exciting. We should hear back probably within a few months about the splash pad grant. That will be one that we will build in-house as well.
Okay.
So we'll be able to complete that in-house. We've actually already started to sit to kind of come up with what our ideas are on what direction we want to go with that, with constructing it, which, of course, we built the one in Monterey as well at Whitaker Park. We've done that there. Whenever I initially came to the department, there was quite a bit of work that needed to be done in Whitaker Park in Monterey coming off of the ice storm, because I actually started in the department right after the ice storm. So there was a lot of work that needed to be done up there that we were able to do. We have a lot of good things going on in Monterey. They've definitely been getting quite a bit happening. We were able to work with the city to be able to do movie nights for the first time in the park up there. So there's a lot of things going in the right direction there as well. So we're really excited about those relationships and the new relationships that we're forming in Monterey and both Baxter. That's ultimately, as I'd said earlier, we couldn't do any of the things that we do if it weren't for the relationships that we have with all these cities and,
sure,
and different organizations. So.
And it would be more difficult to do the things without the opportunity for funding of grants, because yeah, I was talking to a county mayor the other day about grant opportunities. There's so many grants through federal and state lines that's available that people don't even apply for, but that's not the case here in Putnam. We, especially your department, you're applying for everything that you can. We just approved Monday night the commission for you to apply for a $50,000 grant for a safe, but it's a build safe grant, I think it mm-hmm. was, and that's a no match grant. It's no cost to the county. It's $50,000 for your department to do a project, and you applied for it. You don't know if you're going to get it, but it takes that application on these grants to get the grant money and to do things like you're talking about in Baxter, Monterey.
In that project that you were talking about, the grant application, that is actually for different planning to go up the mountain with the rails trails. So we're going to be able to, hopefully if we're awarded that grant, we're going to be able to sit down with engineers and come up with some alternative plans as to how we can take that trail on up the mountain. Of course, the end goal would be to try and reach the city of Monterey,
sure,
if possible. So we're going to try and do all that planning and try and get that pre-work done in place while the city of Allgood brings the trail on out to the city limits. And then, of course, at that point, it would be on us to be able to apply for grants to be able to try and take it farther. But you look at what we've done as a department, and a lot of it wouldn't be – well, a lot of it really wouldn't be possible at all if it weren't for grants. Probably in the 5 years I've been here, we've probably gotten 10-plus grants that,
right,
that have given us different projects. And one of the biggest sources that we have found for those has been the state health department.
Right.
And that's one thing. Lisa Bumblow, of course, with the health department here, has been great to help us be able to get that funding. She's been a huge resource, which, of course, the last few months for her have been really hectic,
right,
and really busy. So we've done a really good job, I think, of being able to capitalize on those grants whenever we're given that opportunity.
Lisa is a saint.
She is.
She's done such a wonderful job with everything going on, and her and her staff done a great job before COVID hit. They just do so much over there at the health department, but her and her staff are amazing, and I just can't say enough about them.
Well, and that's actually one thing, too. A lot of people don't realize the role that they played during the tornado. Lisa and her staff were very active in the Emergency Operations Center.
Absolutely.
They helped us because, of course, we couldn't dedicate a staff member to stay in the EOC. We needed all of our staff at the community center. And so they helped coordinate a lot of the things her staff did. Kayla Croson and Katie Neal were great,
sure,
on the EOC to help with,
yeah,
that. So.
Yeah, they're great. And so you talked about Baxter and Monterey projects going on. Do you have a master plan going forward for the Parks and Rec Department?
That is actually something that we are in the process of creating. Of course, you know, we do our five-year plan, which is something that Mayor Porter had started, which is a great thing.
Yes.
For the county commissioners to have that to be able to look at. But what our plan is we're going to extend past that five-year plan. We want to try and put in place a master plan over all of our facilities in order to include all these different projects that we want to try and do coming up. The other big feature of our master plan that I want to include, of course, is public input. I think that's one of the biggest things that has been lacking in the past in our department is the public haven't had the opportunity to be able to have input into the direction that our facilities are headed. So that's something that we're going to involve in this. We're going to involve different surveys. All the different stakeholder groups that utilize our facilities are going to be involved in that process. I've actually asked them to come up with different capital projects or projects that they would like to see done at the facilities. So then that way, when we see grants that come up or alternative revenue sources, we can start to attack those projects using those different grants. It will help us moving forward, and not just that, but it will also help the county commissioners to be able to see an overall viewpoint
right.
of where our department wants to head.
Right. And you mentioned facilities, and one thing we haven't discussed, and we got just a couple minutes left, but community centers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that you and your department maintain the community centers. Now, there are some community centers that have a board that are responsible for renting the community center out to the public. But as far as the maintenance of the community centers, the buildings and the grounds, that's your department. And so that's how many facilities? How many community centers in the county?
It's 16 total. So when you think about these community centers, the vast majority are 100 years old, potentially.
Right. Yep.
They're old schoolhouses is what they are that have been passed on to our department as community centers. So these boards that are active at a lot of these community centers are great. They're
right.
great resources, not just for the community, but also for me as the director of the department. They really help me to kind of be able to be in touch with that community. And, of course, we do everything that we can to support those to try and foster them and to foster that growth. But, yes, a lot of these community centers, of course, they're aged. And unfortunately, a lot of them show their age. And so that requires quite a bit more work to be able to maintain those than what normally would. It was pretty funny. We were doing some ADA projects this last year at community centers. And every time that we'd have to tear a wall open, it was like a new journey
right.
into trying to figure out how we were going to be able to accomplish this project.
Yep.
So, There's definitely a lot of situations like that, but they're a great asset, I think, to the community, especially so much history
sure.
that there is there. For instance, you go to Buffalo Valley and walk the halls. It's very neat to be able to see all the different school pictures
yep.
of when they were in school there. And they have pictures, of course, when that building actually flooded many, many years ago. So that was neat. Somebody had they were floating in a canoe in the hallway.
That's
of
funny.
The building, so
yeah.
it's definitely neat to be able to see that.
So the nearest community center to me is the Cedar Hill Community Center there on Highway 70 west of Baxter, and that's where my daddy went to as they say grammar school first grade through sixth grade. And can you believe that him and his classmates actually back then they had an outhouse
mm-hmm.
to go use the restroom. And so can you believe him? You know my daddy. Can you believe him and his classmates actually turned that outhouse over with their teacher in it?
I wouldn't believe that
yeah,
at all.
Exactly. And that's a story I was told when I was very young over there one time. And his stories are hilarious. But anyway, John, thank you for being here. You've been wonderful. I can't say how much I appreciate everything you do for our county, you and your staff. You work really hard. You're accessible. You're versatile. You do so many things for us. And we are thankful to have a Parks and Rec department such as yours that provides so many services. So, as always, let me know if you need anything. We support you and the commission supports you, and just thank you. Hope everyone's enjoyed this show, this week's show of Trending. Just a reminder, I want to thank my producer Nick. I'm sorry, Nick. Nook, Nick. I want to thank you for your help and assistance. Just remind everybody, be kind to each other. We're still working through a whole lot of stuff in this world, and if you just remember to be kind and smile to one another, I promise you it'll make things better. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.